The title of my sermonette today is The Importance of Doing Hard Things. And I will share a little bit of information to you. In the late 1980s and 1990s, a psychology researcher named Carol Dweck conducted psychological studies on the motivation and beliefs associated with learning, which became the foundation of what we know today as a growth mindset. And simplifying, but in a powerful way, there are three main characteristics of what a growth mindset consists of. Well, the first is that people with a growth mindset believe, quite simply, that people have the ability to change. That is, their abilities are not fixed. Now, we can think of the I can't kind of statements or I am kind of statements. For example, a fixed mindset belief would say something like, I'm not a great reader, so I don't really have to study the Bible. It doesn't really work for me. Or, I'm not very good at social interactions, so I'm not going to dedicate my time to fellowship with others. A fixed mindset can also take the shape of positive evaluations, such as, I am righteous. I'm a good Christian. These are identity types of statements. Even though these positive evaluations are good identity labels, seemingly motivating, they can have the effect of limiting us. When we have a fixed way of seeing ourselves and what our identity consists of, we don't consider the possibilities of anything beyond what we're comfortable with. This is our comfort zone. If I think to myself I'm not a good reader, I won't take the time to work at reading. If I think I'm not a person who's very good at social interactions, I'm not going to work at social interactions. Growth doesn't happen there. The second characteristic of people with a growth mindset is that they believe that effort is important, much more than identity labels. They believe in practice that putting work into something challenging is more valuable than having achieved a status or an outcome or a label associated with your identity. It is more valuable to have worked hard to overcome sin than it is to be righteous and to have that label. The third characteristic of people with a growth mindset is that they believe that adversity, trial, is an opportunity to grow. Not something to be avoided, but something to dive into and with excitement and willingness instead of avoiding it. People with a growth mindset know that improving is an endless and valuable pursuit that requires facing challenges. And it's only possible by getting out of their comfort zone and struggling with the unknown. Those are the three characteristics. Now, in studies that compare behavior of people with a fixed mindset with those with a growth mindset, we see some interesting differences. People with a fixed mindset tend to choose activities that validate their identities. Think of the Pharisees, for example, who had an identity of being righteous. They chose to do actions which validated that outward appearance, that made them look righteous outwardly. Jesus Christ pointed out to them that they were being hypocritical. They were not actually working to overcome sin. They also did not make improvements because, people with a fixed mindset do not, since they are not putting work into overcoming something, facing a challenge, they don't actually make improvements by doing hard things. Whereas people with a growth mindset tend to willingly do harder things because they value effort. They know that the only way to improve is to get out of their comfort zone and put work into it. These are the ones who perform better because they take calculated risks, unafraid of struggle, unafraid of failure, knowing that they can and must grow through their efforts. I find it interesting that this field of psychology has emerged in the past few decades, but brethren, it has been in the Bible for thousands of years. We know as Christians that in order to succeed, we need to have what I've described as a growth mindset. We apply this every day in repentance. And today I want to talk about that aspect of doing hard things. Let's go over to James 1 and read verses 2 through 5. James 1 and verse 2 talks about hard things. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. There's the hard thing. What's the benefit? Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. This is the Bible telling us to have a growth mindset. Dive into those hard things. Don't worry about those trials. They're there for you to grow, to develop patience, to bring about the perfect work. The trials that we experience are necessary for our growth. They are productive. They produce, as it says here, patience. Consider what patience is in the context of a trial. Patience, through difficult circumstances, gives us the ability to really process what's going on, what's happening in our lives. Those with patience in a trial consider what's going on. They have faith that in the fact that God is doing the testing, and they work through it. That's what patience is in the face of a trial. The patient contemplate the ways to get through it, as a Christian would, following in the model of Jesus Christ. This is what it means for patience to have its perfect work. It results in the work that God has given us to do, going towards perfection. Compare that patient response that we're supposed to have here with the opposite. That is one of panic. A panicked response does not see clearly. A panicked response brings someone into the mode of defense. Like, I need to get out of here. I'm not going to grow. All I want is out. They feel threatened. People do not grow when they're panicked. They get in defense mode, and they don't value working through it. Let's take a look at the example of Moses. If we go to Exodus 3, and I'll read verses 9 through 12, Moses is given the first of many hard things to do. Well, maybe not the first, but definitely one of the most landmark, difficult things. Exodus 3 and verse 9. I'm almost there. All right. Now, therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come to me, and I have also seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now, therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh, and I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? So he said, I will certainly be with you, and this shall be a sign to you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain. This is what it feels like when we are called to do something difficult. Do I really have to do this right now? I've got other things to do. Like, I'm comfortable. I don't want to do this. God, find somebody else. I don't want to. But guess what? Moses takes this on. We see Moses here at the same point where we will find ourselves on our Christian journey. God gives us something hard to work through, something we must do, something challenging. We have to be paying attention for that, however. Sometimes, if we don't pay attention, it's going to hit us later, maybe even harder. In this instance, we see Moses being called to do something that he doesn't necessarily know that he can do. Why me? I have to go to Pharaoh? Who am I? Have you ever felt like that? You're bringing me in to do what? However, God knows what he's doing. From this point, Moses obviously concedes. He then goes through a series of more and more difficult circumstances, which are growth opportunities for him, throughout his entire life till the moment he dies. And the result, I think we all know, he grows individually in character and faith and spiritual growth to become the absolute benchmark of leadership that we know today. He became a friend of God. Why? Because he grew. Because he chose to do the hard things. He figures out how to bring Israel to the promised land. And we, brethren, are the benefactors of his growth because he chose to do hard things. How would it have been if Moses said, "No, that is too hard for me. I'm comfortable where I'm at. I'm not going to do that." How would it be for you if you continued to deny your opportunities for growth? If you say, "No, I am not going to take on this hard thing because I'm comfortable where I am. I'm not going to do that right now. That's too hard." I think the opportunity lies out in front of us. Jesus Christ was tempted by Satan. Let's go over to that example. In Matthew 4, beginning in verse 1, we see that moment when, after Jesus had fasted for 40 days, that he is confronted by Satan. This is what happens. Matthew 4 and verse 1. "Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights afterward, he was hungry. Now when the tempter came to him, he said, 'If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread.' But he answered and said, 'It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God.' Then the devil took him up into the holy city, set him up on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, 'If you're the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone.' Jesus said to him, 'It is written again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God.' And again, the devil took him up on an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, 'All these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me.' Then Jesus said to him, 'Away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you shall serve.'" Jesus faced this challenge, this extremely difficult situation, at the beginning of his ministry. He knew his purpose in life, that he would suffer hard things. And Satan is here tempting him strongly to divert him away from fulfilling that purpose by appealing to his carnal nature. And you can be sure that it was very, very difficult for him to endure this. Talk about something hard. This is it. He would face many more hard things, such as willingly being beaten and killed for our sake. He knew what he was getting into, but he did not say, "It's too much for me, it's too hard, I'm going to run away and hide somewhere." He said, "I'm going to do this because I have to." Like Jesus, we must take our challenges with patience and faith, knowing that by overcoming, we will grow. In John 16, 33, we read the conclusion of the matter as he is encouraging his disciples. John 16, 33, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation," or opportunities for growth. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. The hard things that Jesus Christ produced, the hard things that he did, produced so much growth in him that he accomplished the most important achievement in the history of man. He overcame the world. He won. This only happened because he volunteered to do the most difficult and hardest thing that anyone could do. We will have trials in our lives, but we can be encouraged that it serves the purpose of our growth, so that just as Jesus Christ did, we too can overcome.